The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Romans chapter 5, Romans 5, 1 through 11. It's on page 1198 in your Bibles, Romans chapter 5, and it's verse 8 that is the particular focus of this morning's message as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together. Listen to the Word of God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also have obtained access by faith into this state of grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So far God's holy word. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this marvelous, marvelous truth of the love of God, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? O Lord, help us to understand and get a glimpse, just a glimpse of this marvelous truth. Lead us now, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive that blessed sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters, on February 3, 1943, the cruise ship Dorchester was carrying troops from the United States headed to England. They were off the coast of Newfoundland when a German submarine hit that boat. There were 900 people on that boat. There were four chaplains on that boat. And the boat began to sink, and there were life belts, and there were life boats for nearly everyone. But the four chaplains knew that there were some who didn't have a life jacket. So the four chaplains gave up their life jackets to those who didn't have one. And the four chaplains, arm in arm, went down to the bottom of the North Atlantic with that ship and gave their life. Now the Apostle Paul says, Jesus gave His life for us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. You hear of it once in a while. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, who was a great pastor in the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, preached on this and told this story. There were miners under the earth mining coal. And there was an explosion in that mine. and poisonous gas was released. And there were two miners left in that mine. One of the miners' gas mask was blown off with the explosion. There was another man who had a gas mask. And he said to his fellow miner, "You have a wife. You have three children. I'm going to give up my gas mask for you." And so he was spared, but the miner without a family, he gave his life for the miner with a family. Now Paul says, very rarely will you hear of a righteous man, though a good person would dare even to die. You hardly ever hear of someone giving his life for another person. But here in this passage, there is a beautiful contrast. Scarcely you hear of a righteous person giving his life for someone, or maybe a good person would dare to do it. But, and here's the contrast, but God gave his son, Jesus gave his life, not for good people, not for righteous people, not for friendly people, but for enemies. There are four words that describe the people for whom Jesus died. Helpless. They could do nothing on their own. Godless, which is the deepest aspect of what sin is. It's godlessness. That's what these people were. That's us. He's talking about us. Godless, helpless, weak, and the final word is enemies. We were enemies, hostile, not caring about the Lord at all. That's what we are by nature. And yet, the amazing grace of God, the amazing love of God, is that God came to those who refused to hear him. He came to those who had rejected him, and he gave his life for them. This is the most amazing thing. It is so contrary to human nature. It is divine nature. It is only something God could do. There's not a human being that would do it. Only God can do it. And why did he do it? Not because we deserved it. Not because we earned it. Not because we were such good people. No, he came unto his own and his own received him not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on his son the iniquity of us all. Now do you believe that? Do you believe that you don't deserve this? Do you believe that it is a gift, an unmerited gift of God? That's what it is, that God gave himself for us who actually deserve the opposite. For the wages of sin is death, and that is the wage which we have earned by rebellion and sin. And the amazing grace of God is that Jesus came and gave his life. He poured out his blood for you and me who rejected him. That's the gospel. The gospel is not that God came to such good people and they were so kind and so accepting and so receiving of him that he gave him his son. No, it's the opposite. That is the point Paul is making here. While we were yet sinners, while we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Now, unless we come to that honest conclusion ourselves that we are unworthy and that the gift of God is a free, unmerited gift of His marvelous grace, unless we understand that, unless we accept that, we will say, well, we don't really need this. I'm good enough. Jesus conveyed that in that parable, you know, of the wedding feast. And everyone who came to that wedding feast had to have a wedding garment on. They had to have a pure white garment. And so the master of the feast looked over all his guests, and there was someone who did not have a wedding garment on. He had his own garment on. And the master of the feast said, you better come here a minute. So he comes, and the master said, you don't have a wedding garment on? And he went like this. He said, hey, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. The master of the feast said, no, you're not. You're not good enough. What do you mean I'm not good enough? I've done this, I've done that, I've done the next thing, and I'm a whole lot better than some other guys. And the master said, no, you aren't. You're not invited. If you think you're good enough, it's not for you. You know, that's true for the Lord's Supper too. If we say, I don't really need it, I'm good enough, there's no speck on me, it's not for you. It's only for those who say, in thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure, grace and peace to be afford. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Then there's room for you. We come empty-handed. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That's how we have to come to the Lord's table. That's the only way. We don't come because we say, I'm so good, I'm so good. No, 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 no. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And since thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. That's how we come. That's the only way to come. And so Paul says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That time was set by the Father before the foundation of the world. The right time. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem us who are under the law. At the right time. It was the perfect time in God's plan. And He sent His Son, His only begotten Son. And as we read in Philippians 2, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though He was God, really God, 100% God, He did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself, and He took on the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself even to death, the death of the cross. That's what He did for us. He was rejected on our behalf. He who was rich for our sakes became poor, that through His poverty we might be rich. How poor did Jesus become? Was it the poverty of being born in a barn? No. Was it the poverty of being born of a poor woman? No. What was the poverty of Jesus? Was it that he said, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head? Is that the depth of his poverty? No. Though that is all true. The depth of his poverty is that he was rejected of his Father. That he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the poverty. He became nothing for us. He was despised and rejected of men and of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement that was upon us was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Do you believe that? Is your hope in him alone? Do you trust in him? And do you know that my Redeemer lives? And that he has given his life for us? And that there is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved than that blessed name of Jesus. Do you know him? Have you confessed your sins to him? And do you receive his wonderful gift of salvation and eternal life full and free? Come ye needy, heavy laden, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. So what's the basis of all this? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. For God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, he died for us. God's love. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaks about the love of God, and he says in that beautiful prayer that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. We sing of it, O love of God, how strong and true, eternal and yet ever new. Uncomprehended. We can't comprehend it. Uncomprehended beyond all knowledge and all thought. We read the best. We read the best. The love of God we read best in him who came to bear for us the cross of shame, sent by the Father from on high, our life to live, our death to die. That's the gospel. As Lori and I were driving here this morning, we had the Messiah on our CD and in the car. And you hear the Messiah, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the honor, the glory, the wisdom, the power, and the blessing. And to hear that hallelujah chorus, all praise to God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The gospel, when we have the Lord's Supper, the entire gospel is centered on the cross of Jesus Christ. And the bread which we break is a picture of the breaking of the body of Jesus. He was torn apart by the nails and the spear. He hung there for you and me. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said to the thief who said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And he said to his mother and his dear friend John, woman, behold your son. And son, behold your mother. And then darkness came over the whole land from 12 till 3. And in the midst of that darkness, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why he did? You know the answer to that question? God forsook him so that he would never forsake us. He forsook him because of love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then as the darkness came close to 3 o'clock, Jesus said, I thirst. And wine vinegar was given to him. His mouth was moistened. And then he cried out in a triumphant cry, it is finished. The debt is paid. I have come, I have finished the work the Father gave me to do. And there is salvation now, full and free to all who repent and believe. And then Jesus said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And he gave up his spirit and died for you and me. That was Friday, Good Friday. And then Saturday he lay in the tomb. And early Sunday morning, as the women came to the tomb to anoint his body, they said, how are we going to roll that stone away? And they came, and the stone was already rolled away. And they met angels who said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Even as he said, he is alive. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. We have a risen Savior. We have a living Savior. And he comes and he gives you the table and he gives you the bread and the cup today. And he says, this is for you. I give my life for you. You are my friends. I died for you. I am the good shepherd. I gave my life for you. Take, eat, remember, and believe that my body was broken and my blood was shed for a complete forgiveness of all your sins. Do you believe that today? Is that your conviction? Can you say, yes, my Jesus, I love thee. I know you are mine. Mine. Today, tomorrow, at the hour of my death, I know you are mine. And you have a home in heaven for me. Because you said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is this your conviction? Is this what you believe without a shadow of a doubt, that you know that your salvation is secure in the finished work of Jesus Christ? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And everyone said,